Quiet shift last night. We had the crew sleeping, of course, when we came on, and they slept until about the last 2 or 3 hours of the shift. They seemed to be resting very well. Occasionally, we would notice a little bit of an increase in heart rate during a pass. And the medics feel like that's just stirring within the spacecraft, that they still were sleeping fairly well. They sounded rested when we woke them up this morning. We had no problems come up during the night. The spacecraft was perking along just as we would like it to do. We spent the majority of the night shift tonight planning the day's activities, what we were going to do for an EVA today. And I have that summarized here in general terms of what the major activities will be today. I thought I would go through that, since that's really about the only thing of significance that we did on this shift. First, let me say that we do not plan to have the crew leave the limb, go outside. The EVA will consist of merely depressurizing the spacecraft and opening the hatches. I'm sure you're all aware of the reasons that we have decided to do that. We will begin the limb manning, and that should have been started by now, about 7:30 this morning. And we'll have both the lunar module pilot and the commander in the limb by approximately 8:15. That's our current schedule. We'll start off with some, of course, we have to activate the limb and power it up, and that will always be the procedure we'll have to go through. We plan to do some special comm checks or communication checks, some of those that we missed yesterday. We'll start trying to pick those up today. And those will begin about 9:15. Over the Carnarvon Honeysuckle Mercury Pass. Some of the checks we're planning to do there are the two-way relay and lunar stay type checks. These involve some of the complicated communication modes that we will be using during the lunar landing missions. We will then start preparing for the EVA by depressurizing the spacecraft at about 10:55 this morning. We'll start with the limb depressurization, and it's scheduled at 10:55. And immediately following that, we will open the limb hatch. The command module depressurization will start about 15 minutes later, at about 11:05. And the plan is to open the command module side hatch. The hatch open period will last about 40 to 45 minutes, and that's relatively loosely defined right now. We would like to start repressurizing or closing the hatches prior to running out of coverage over Canary Islands at the end of that stateside pass. Following repressurization, and that should be finished by noon today, central time, we'll recharge the PLIS, restore that to a usable condition again. The TV pass is still scheduled. However, it will be limited to inside the LEM spacecraft. And that is scheduled for 74 hours 57 minutes, that's elapsed time, mission elapsed time, until 75 hours 13 minutes. And if I've converted this right, that's 12:57 Central Standard to 1:13 this afternoon Central Standard. The commander will transfer back out of the limb into the command module at about, right at the end of this TV pass, during the latter portion of that TV pass, the commander will start transferring back into the command module. The lunar module pilot will transfer back about 2:10 this afternoon, or about 7608 mission elapsed time. And that, in general terms, is what is planned for today's activities.
Okay, you have anything further, Pete?
No.
Just ready for questions now. Any questions here? Al?
When the astronauts are in a depressurized cabin, if there was an emergency, how long would it take for them to close the hatch and repressurize?
I would estimate that it would be a very few minutes, 2 to 3 minutes to get the pressurization started, and really seconds once the repressurization is started. It really just how long it's going to take them to snap the hatches closed, and I am sure that's could be done very quickly.
Bert West.
How will Scott attempt to retrieve this thermal sample? Just going to reach an arm out there, or how?
Yes, in opening the hatch, to get the hatch all the way open, he will be almost in a position to just reach from that position and get the sample.
How far is it out? Did he?
I don't know exactly. It's within easy reach, unquote.
It's between the hatch and the rendezvous window, so it shouldn't be too far away. Any further questions here, Al, again?
Do you have any medical report on Schweikert or any quote from him on how he feels today?
No, we don't. We did not. There was no private conversation this morning and no special medical discussions made. We have talked with Rusty in the course of discussing the flight plan, and he sounds fine, but there have been no special medical reports.
Ed Pip.
I'm sorry if this has been covered before I just got in, but in the case that Schweikert does become ill when the spacecraft are depressurized, how long would it take to pressurize him again and get him out of trouble?
Okay.
Is that
Yes, but in very general terms, I would estimate a matter of 2 to 3 minutes to close the hatch and repressurize.
How much longer to get his helmet off, or could that all be done in 2 to 3 minutes?
Well, I would think within 2 to 3 minutes, and then the helmet could be off in seconds.
This would compare to what kind of time if he were EVA?
Well, okay, that would depend on where he was EVA. We have estimated that the time to transfer back across one way would be about 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. They have done it faster than that in the water immersion facility. So if he were halfway across there, you could say, well, there's probably an additional 7 or 8 minutes right there.
Any further questions here? Any questions from the Cape? Still none at the Cape. I've got one proxy question from the Cape. Mary Bubb Fairchild Publications asks, why are communications so bad compared with COM on Apollo 7?
Funny you should ask. We've been asking the same thing. And I don't know. We're certainly working on that, trying to find that out ourselves. And I'm just not sure what the reasons are that they're coming up with.
What's that? What are those funny interference noises over Canaries? I noticed some kind of noises sort of down in the mud. The last two Canary passes, I've heard something. There's interference.
There's crosstalk, I think is a term they use on that. That's in the ground lines.
It's not a ship or some airport control tower or something like that.
I don't know where it's coming from.
Any others here? Okay, I guess that wraps it up then. Shortest one on record, I guess. Thanks.